Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Man, listen, Keith Wright, and he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, each and every time I listen to that little piece from Keith, it just does something for me, because it shows that our athletes have, you know, they really have changed their thought process. You know, when you have a young man of that caliber and in a little rap song, he decides to put in the piece, he's making smart cool. That means he understands it. He gets it. He knows what the next step is all about and where the next level is at. So I applaud my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he's making smart cool. That's how he do. Well, folks, this evening we're going to have a little conversation on something, and I am very, 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 very happy if you would join in on this conversation. It would just make me extremely happy, because I think you have something that you need to share, something that others need to hear around the country. Now, we may have a few folks that chime in from various parts of the country, and definitely we welcome them, because we love to understand where they're coming from and how they come to their various perspectives. But this evening we're going to talk about the high school transfer. And I came up with the thought for this particular show topic based upon listening to a show earlier this morning, and last week actually, when the show initially was aired. Listening to a young man by the name of Coach Rick Wolf out of WFAN. You may have seen me tweeted that earlier and posted it up on Facebook. WFAN out of New York. Had a very good conversation about a school up in Jersey, New Jersey, having an issue with a transfer case. And that case hasn't drawn national attention, but I think before long and before it actually closes out, it will. And I think that's going to be a good thing, because this particular subject, high school transfers, is something that needs to be addressed and governed by a higher body than the local superintendent. And I say that because we have a variety of, and I'll give you some examples later on in the show, we have a variety of ways of how the various states are dealing with it. So I welcome you to join in on the conversation this evening, 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation and share your thoughts, your views, your suggestions, your ideals, your comments, your moans, groans, gripes, and complaints about the high school transfer. The high school transfer. Well, let's just look at that and figure out what we're talking about. Now, we have to remember a high school transfer is very different from a transfer that we would have at the collegiate level. A high school transfer is just simply a family relocating. Well, it should be a family relocating, and now their child is wishing to attend another school. Now, what I want to bring to the forefront and make this perfectly clear. In our conversation this evening, and if some of you have some other insight on other aspects of it, I'm going to solely refer to public school transfer. We know that we have parochial schools. We know that we have prep schools. We know that we have private institutions, so on and so forth, all these other different school systems. But I'm going to refer to things in the public school sense, transferring from public school to public school. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because all the other transfers, whether or not it's from a public school to a private school, I want to look at that in a very simple manner. And that simple manner being, okay, if you transfer from a public school to a private school, now you're paying your funds, your parents are paying their funds for you to attend that institution. So where is the question? Okay, if somebody doesn't like the idea that you're attending that private school and you're paying your money for it, then, hey, oh, well, fine and dandy. I hate to look at it that way or make it sound that way, but it is what it is. My conversation this evening will be focused around public school to public school. And, you know, we would say that the ideal way a transfer would take place would be simply a family relocated, and now the child is in another school district, and another school I have to be real cautious when I say another school district, because in some cases the child may be transferring within the same city, just move from one part of town to another part of town, you know, and that's not necessarily a different school district. That could be just simply relocating or moving from one area to another area of the city or of the town or of the county, however you want to look at it. The ideal thought would be that the family has relocated, and now the child is wanting to attend a new school. All well, fine, and dandy. So far, I don't think I've said anything that's been out of place. Now, without adding in, and I want you to put some real thought on this here. Without adding in the small portion of sports, what is wrong with transferring and going to another school? If a child was transferring due to academic reasons, or a child was transferring due to, I think, he or she or parents believe that he or she may receive a better academic, a better academic situation, would there be a question on it? Would there be a challenge to that? Would you have a situation where everybody is screaming, foul, 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 foul? Probably not. Probably not. Well, the situation that happened up in Wayne County, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to WFAN this morning or even last week. The situation that happened up in Wayne County, New Jersey, is where the superintendent did a self-report and reported that Wayne County High, I think it's called Wayne County Hill High or something like that, that the school had three ineligible players. And supposedly these three brothers had transferred into the school system. Now, this wasn't their first year. This was actually their second year at the school. So I don't know how it would actually have taken him almost 2 years to figure this thing out, or a year and a half to figure this thing out. Not unless all of a sudden some little birdie just flew on his shoulder and gave him some information. Again, all of that is still under investigation. But the superintendent decided to make the report to the state association. And then turned the state association, went in and initially made their recommendations. Just so happened the team had a record of 8-1 on their way to the playoffs, was the number one team, you know, coming out of the county, so on and so forth. So the initial assessment was, oh, these kids are ineligible. So what ended up happening, the state association vacated all of their wins. Now this is the part I want to talk about. I want to dig into, and I want you to give me some of your feedback. Now, the state association vacated all their wins for the last 2 years or two seasons based upon these three young men being athletes on this team. Now, they didn't suspend these young men. They vacated the win of the team. And then after, you know, the young men and their family, of course, went out, got a lawyer. And now they are challenging the Athletic Association. The Athletic Association, in turn, turns it back around on the superintendent, like, okay, why didn't you do your due diligence to prove that we have a case here? Because what the family ended up doing after they obtained their lawyer, they showed a proof of residency that they did rent an apartment in the Wayne County area. Now, needless to say, there is only a one-bedroom apartment, and supposedly the three boys lived there along with their mom and dad. And I guess, as the report told the story this morning, someone did check out the apartment and noticed that there was suitable sleeping conditions in this apartment. So, as a result, there's a little egg in the Wayne County superintendent's face right now. So, the Athletic Association of New Jersey Athletic Association, is doing a thorough investigation to first why the superintendent took it upon himself to do this self-report and, you know, what triggered all this. You know, so there's some underlying issues that's going on here that will be resolved. But in saying and seeing all that unfold, you ask the question, okay, why would all of their wins be vacated. Now you're punishing an entire team for the role of three. Well, these three young men. Now, are you trying to tell me that these three young men carried the entire team for 2 years straight? Are you telling me that these three young men are so good they just was able to outdo everybody else out there on the football field? These three young men were able to beat an 11-man squad on the other side of the ball? You ask that question. In addition to that, let's make this real simple. Young men did not transfer themselves. Their parents transferred them. So the question and the conversation wouldn't come back to the young men and their teammates. The question and the conversation should be going to the parents. Why is the team being penalized for something that someone believes, alleged, that the parents had done? Give us a call this evening at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, getting back to what I was saying, the parents was the ones that initiated the transfer. Now, when we're talking about young men being transferred and young ladies being transferred, we're talking about that for the sole purpose of identifying what's happening. Well, we identified what's happening earlier on in the show. A transfer took place, change of residence, whatever the case may be. Would we still be having this conversation, and I'm asking you this question, parents, will we still be having this conversation if it was everyday after school activity other than sports? Other than a major revenue sport. Let's take it one step further. If it was the soccer team and they barely had any wins, will we have this conversation? If it was the tennis team that hadn't made the playoffs in years and still hasn't made the playoffs, will we be having this conversation? If it was the debate team, would we be having this conversation? I'd be willing to bet probably not. Why, parents, and many of you are sitting there answering me right now as you're listening to this broadcast. You know the answer. We're not talking about any major revenue. We're not talking about any dollars and cents changing hands. So, as a result, issue due to the simple fact that we're talking about a major revenue sport, football. And I'd be willing to bet the same thing would take place if it was basketball. So, let's ask that question again. Why? Why? Perhaps this is the time that we, as parents of athletes, as I say it all the time, we must be their biggest advocate. We, as parents of athletes, must
challenge the process and find out we need a solution. We need a resolution on this particular issue. Either it's going to become a conversation, either it's going to become something that needs to be addressed, or we're not going to worry about it. We're going to overlook it. We're going to totally ignore it just as if it was just a kid just doing a regular transfer for an academic reason or transferring and just so happened the kid's on the debate team, the chess club, whatever. Or if we are going to put something in place, covers the entire United States. I'm not sure what the governing body will be that will impose that, but it needs to be reviewed, needs to be addressed, needs to be looked at. Department of Education, I don't care if it's them that's going to be required to step in, but if that's the case, then that should be the governing body that steps in and says yay or nay. And if said yay or nay, then the requirement has to stand across the board. It ain't no case-by-case wavering situation. I understand that it stands across the board. That's all I'm saying. If we're going to do it, we do it fairly, and we do it for all. If we're not going to do it, then we're not going to do it. It's not an optional thing. It's not a thing that we can pick and choose and kick cans around to figure out if it's going to blow. I don't think that's a good process, folks. I don't think that's a process to the point it benefits anybody other than those that's making the revenue. That's where I'm at on that particular subject. Folks, if you want to call in and join in on the conversation again, you can give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. And definitely, give us some of your thoughts. Because after the break, we're going to come back and I'm going to give you some transfer rules from a couple different states I just so happened to look up. Now, needless to say, I tried to look up the transfer rule for the state of Virginia, in which my children play sports. Very complex. Very unclear of what you have in front of you. But I got a couple other states that has some information in there that you may say, interesting. But we're going to address that, folks, once we come back from the break. So until then, stick with us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back. I want to try to find a little piece from Coach Rick Wolf's show earlier today.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Well, if you happen to have heard last Sunday's show, you'll recall that we were talking about a most unusual situation in New Jersey regarding the Wayne Hills High School football team. The team ended their regular season with a record of 8-1 and were seeded number one in their regional playoffs. But then, less than 2 weeks ago, the team was suddenly informed by the NJISA, the state's athletic governing body, that there was some sort of residency violation involving three brothers on the team, these three kids who happen to be stars for Wayne Hills. And that as a result, the team was going to be suspended. All their victories from this year were going to be wiped clean, and, of course, Wayne Hills would not be playing in the playoffs. Now, the team, of course, their parents of the kids were understandably outraged. They protested. They got a lawyer. They appealed this ruling to the New Jersey Commissioner of Education, who agreed that the family in question hadn't been given due process, the three brothers, they hadn't been given due process to prove their case that, in fact, they didn't live in the Wayne Hills Township. Now, it wasn't until late Tuesday of this past week when a final hearing was heard that the Wayne Hills football team was fully reinstated and is now allowed to go back and resume playing football in the state playoffs. Now, at this point, I want to bring in Patrick Lanny from NJ.com, who has been covering this unusual case. Patrick was on the show last weekend. Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me again.
Well, Pat, thank you for getting up early again to talk about this. This has been a most unusual case because it seems like, you know, first they were suspended, then they were reinstated, then that was just a temporary reinstatement, then the final ruling came down this week that they are, in fact, clear to play. So a guy who's sort of done this full cycle. Tell me what happened last week with the ruling and what went on and how this ruling was made.
Yeah, certainly. On Tuesday, there was a six-hour meeting held at the NJSA headquarters in Robbinsville,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey, and as you just said. And the NJSA ruled that the two brothers in question, Tyler and Hunter Hayek, were in fact eligible. And what came out of the hearing, I told you stay tuned for the hearing. We'll get the facts in the case. So here's some of the evidence that was presented on both sides. And what the Hayek family presented, is that they've rented an apartment in Wayne, since October 2015. It's a one-bedroom apartment that, there's three brothers and a father. So there's four people living in a one-bedroom apartment with two beds and a pull-out sofa. The lawyer said, we understand that it's crammed, but this is all the testimony pointed to the fact that they live there. They use this address to register for school in Wayne, and that was the bona fide change of residence that they needed to not have to sit out the 30 days. So they were never in violation of the NJSA's transfer rule. So, the NJSA went back and said, redated on everything and put Wayne Hills back in the postseason. So today, Wayne Hills kicks off after, a couple weeks of just total uncertainty. They're back in the playoffs today. It'll be a cold one. If you want to come out to New Jersey this afternoon, we'd love to have you, Rick.
Well, let's sort of go back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, as you see, the subject is back on track as far as what's going on out there in Wayne Hills. And the kids are back into playing and had their championship game played today. And, be interesting. I would should have went ahead and checked the latest report to see if it was posted in the paper today as far as the outcome. Before I even go any further, I talked about the transfer issue and how the various things are being set up. And a very good point was brought to my attention that individual states govern the school bodies, not the government itself, not the national. It's not as done at a national level. Well, you know, I found an article on how the state of Arkansas deals with transfers. And I'm going to read this very small piece pertains to Arkansas's transfers. Let me pull it up here. And like I said earlier on in the show, I'm going to talk strictly public school to public school. It says in Arkansas's Athletic Association, it says transfer from public school to public school. Charter schools are considered public schools. So they're letting you know up front that a charter school is considered a public school. Students should meet the domicile requirement if the student receives a legal transfer. Now, what is a legal transfer? A legal transfer is when it's approved from school board to school board. Again, I say that because what happens if it's within the same city? So it wouldn't be from school board to school board in some cases. Like the area I currently live in, you have kids transferring across town, so it doesn't have to go through school board to school board. So that would be a question in itself here as how that situation will play out. But it says from one public school to another, that's when you have a legal transfer from one public school to another, if it goes through and it is cleared from school board to school board. Board-to-board transfers must take place by July the 1st before the student enters grades 7 through 10. So they're looking at this on a long-term basis, and they're looking at this from the standpoint of, if you're going to do your transfer, you're doing your transfer, you know, between grades 7 and 10. It says students transferring after July the 1st, prior to entering the 10th grade, shall not be eligible for one calendar year, 365 days, unless there is a bona fide move from one public school district into another public school district. Wow. Wow. So it hadn't even addressed 11th to 12th grade, and it doesn't even go on to even talk about what happens at the 11th to 12th grade. So I guess if you're going to transfer, your transfer should take place prior to grade year or entering your 10th grade year. Now, again, folks, I said that came from the Arkansas High School guide. As they would say, it's called an athletic eligibility guide for public school students in Arkansas. For public school students in Arkansas. I came across one that was very interesting. And before I even get to that one, I want to hit this other one here first. One from North Carolina, which is a state that's very close to our current location. And North Carolina, so I mean like a little southern draw going on there. But North Carolina, they have a very simple policy. After your initial entry into the 9th grade, and absent a bona fide move as provided in the residence, okay, you have to go back and look at what it talks about in the
residence section. And then it goes on to say, a student transferring from one member school to another in the same LEA must sit out 365 days for academic participation. They must sit out 365 days. They're making that plain and simple, short and sweet, and to the point. Must sit out for 365 days. Of course, you know, it goes on to talk about some criterias of where they may waiver that, but the initial statement is they must sit out 365 days from athletic participation. Now, of course, there may be something that may create a criteria for immediate athletic eligibility for transfer. And then they go on to talk about the different things that may create that criteria. But their initial statement is 365 days, you will go ahead and take a seat. Now, here's the one that I want to really share with you. And this is out of Ohio. The Ohio High School Athletic Association transferring bylaws. Transferring bylaws. And they went as far as putting together a chart, a OHSAA transfer sequence chart. And it says if you play, they have identified every sport that they have listed. If you play basketball, let's start with baseball. If you play baseball, baseball plays 27 games. The transfer student is not eligible to play until the game 14. Did you hear me? 27 games. The transfer in student is not eligible to play until game 14. 50% of the season has to be gone in order for that student to be eligible to play. Let's look at basketball. They play 22 games, girls and boys varsity basketball. Again, the transferring student is not eligible to play until game 12. Game 12. Then the eligibility is for no more than 55 quarters for the remainder of the regular season. They not only said that you can't play until game 12, but you can't play until, and you can only play 55 quarters. So if you're playing in game 12 and you have approximately, half your season is gone, you only have 10 more games left. Or if you're actually playing in game 12, you can only play 55 quarters. Last time I learned to count a little bit, 55 quarters. Well, if you look at, you got 11 games left, or you playing in game 12. You got 10 games left. And there is 4 quarters per game. If you're playing a game 12, if you got 12 games left, you got 48 quarters left. If you're playing a game 12, okay. So if it says 55 quarters of the regular season, so I'm not sure exactly how they came up with that number. But as a result, they have it broken down that you are not eligible to play until half the season has been expended. Bowling, 24 matches till match 13. Cross country track, 16 matches. You can't start get out there until meet number 9. Field hockey, 16 games, game 9. Football, 10 games, game 6. Golf, 20 matches, game 11, or match 11. Gymnastics, 14, game 8, or meet 8. Ice hockey, they go all the way down the list. They have their whole entire athletic program listed out as far as which game you can actually play in if you're the transferred in student. Now, I think that makes it fair, and I think that has a little bit more reason to it. At least you know what you're up against and when that student will be able to play. There will not be any, and that should be across the board. Whether or not the student comes in on a bona fide transfer or not, that should be across the board as far as the transfer situation goes. And I particularly picked that particular situation because I think it had some merit. It has some merit. And I think I, you know, will hope that more states will look at it along that same line. But those are just three different states that I looked at. And, you know, two of them right off the bat said that 1 year. You know, and I think New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken, in listening to the conversation the call this morning, they have a 30-day sit-out rule. 30 days, which isn't a whole lot, because if you're talking 30 days and you're talking, you know, the month of December, you may not have a whole lot of games during that time period because of your Christmas break, holiday break, so on and so forth. So that may be interesting how that all plays out. Well, folks, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your moans, groans, gripes, and complaints on what we've been talking about. We've been talking about transferring. And like I said, the transferring thing doesn't work both ways if we're talking academics. I understand that, you know, we're looking at it from a perspective of, you know, sports and kids are transferring because of sports. But if you look at the big overall picture, the kids are doing it because they're trying to get to the next level. They're trying to get to college. They're trying to continue their education. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? They're there and they're just chasing a high school ring. And what merit, you know, it has no value. But if they're there just chasing a high school ring, then we got another issue. But if they're there and they're trying to get to play at the college level, they're trying to get to college, then, hey, we should applaud them for even making that attempt. Because there could be so many other things happening in their lives that could distract them and pull them away from the court or away from the field. So let's be realistic about this thing. Let's be realistic. Call this evening at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Let's check on a few of these callers here. I got a caller that's on the line. Prefix 771. Area code 757-771. You're on the line to Parents Coach Parents Network. Good evening. Good evening, caller.
Just listening.
Good evening. Did you have a question or are you just listening?
Just listening in to the show. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't know why I call it. No, I'm just kidding. Stop messing with my callers. I appreciate everybody calling in. Okay, area code. What is this here? 951. That's a strange area code. I don't know who is that. Don't understand. Not done. I got that number in my phone book here. Who is that caller? Let me see if I can find who that caller is. Area code 951. You're listening to the Parents Code the Parents Network. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, caller. So I guess that caller didn't have anything to say either. Area code 917. I know that's out of New York. Listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network. Good evening. Do we have some radio shy callers calling in here? Let's see what's going on here. Let's try one more. Area code 425-420. I don't want to call out your whole number. Area code 425-440. You're listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Well, folks, you know, when you get to that point and you call in and you're listening in and you got a question, I'm just trying to see if you want to chime in on the conversation. But if you hit option one, that'll let me know that you're in the queue and time I'll see your little hand raised on my switchboard here, and that'll let me know that you do have a conversation that you want to bring to the table. But as always, I was saying, you know, it's very interesting how we look at this transfer situation. And, you know, initially I started out talking about transfer and comparing to high school transfer and a college transfer. You know, as we look at that college transfer, of course, that's another one of those situations that's frowned upon only from the student-athlete's perspective. And I say that and I stress that point and point parents, I think, again, you need to be aware of it because it's stressed from the student-athlete's perspective, but oftentimes overlooked the coaches. A coach can transfer, go to another school, and increase his salary. A kid can request a transfer, a student athlete, one of our children can request a transfer, may or may not have a chance to even go if the coach or that school body approves. And then there's some stipulations in there because a lot of times the coaches don't want you to go to another school within your same conference. Coach can leave and go to any school that he or she chooses and picks up a better salary and keeps on as though nothing ever happened. A kid tries to transfer now. He or she has to transfer and prove all these other issues, hardship situation in order for him or her to get out there and continue to play, so on, all these other. Really? I think that's so wrong on so many different levels. But the only way that conversation will ever be brought to the table is through us parents. We, the biggest advocates for our children, must bring that conversation to the table collectively. I'm not saying sitting here trying to incite anything, stir anything up, but there's certain things that need to be addressed. You know, a parent brought up another situation earlier today and then just in general conversation about the red shirt deal. And I'm going to see if I can get a parent on that is currently going through a situation with their child deciding on whether or not he wants to be involved in a red shirt situation. And I think, you know, we're getting close to that time period. Where after you play X amount of games, you're involved in X amount of games, then you've considered that you have expended all your time for that year. But the red shirt situation, whereas, you know, athlete will sit out, you know, after so many games, sit out the remainder of the season, and just hold on to that year of eligibility. And, you know, it's things like that that needs to be explained, things like that really and truly
needs to be broken down so that parents can understand where our children are at. Parents, I want to put this bug in your ear as well, and I want to try to get some educators on here over the next few months, or at least by the turn of the new year. I'm going to see if I can line up some educators. Come on in and give us an overview of where we're at as far as I'm starting to hear this buzz about this new educational structure and our children being on various tracks, school system. And I'm hearing that it's on a bullet train. It's going to be something that's going to be happening rather quickly. Now, I'm talking about our middle school and high school students. My understanding that this is something that's going to take place within the next couple of years or so. So I'm going to try to reach out to some educators that I know and see if they'll be willing to join us, because in saying all that, I'm still going to be concerned on how will that work as far as our student athletes are concerned, or has that even been taken into consideration? So that's another topic for another day, another time. We're winding down to about the last few minutes of the show. You know, I always like to say, hey, if you're in the Virginia area and you're going to be in the Virginia area around the time period of December the 4th, you are invited out to the Central Library, Chesapeake Central Library, December the 4th, between the hours of 2 and 4. Come join us as the Keep Up. The Keep Up Parents Go to Parents Network scholarship event. Keep Up. We have an outstanding panel, outstanding list of panelists, should I say. I'm going to just share some information with you, give you some insight on, things that they have experienced over the years as it pertains to our children going and playing at the next level, whether or not it's at the high school level or whether or not it's at the collegiate level. To mention a few on the panel, we have Mr. Larry Obama from the Virginia Pilot. We have Mr. Andy Hilton from Recruit 757. And also we have Ms. Alexis Avery from Chihuahuan University Compliance Office. Now, that's just to name a few folks that we have on the panel. And trust me, this dynamic panel has been assembled for the sole purpose of providing you parents with some information of value. You can come out on your own, or you can come out without your athletes so they can learn as you learn. But at the end of the day, it's all about you, parents, all about you getting that education and that information. So check us out on Facebook, Parents Keep Up with What's Going On Out There in the Athletic World, so that your child gets the best out of his or her opportunity to play at the next level. Keep up. Keep up. You can find us on Facebook at the Parents Coach to Parents Network. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PCP Network as well. Folks, it's been another wonderful and real show. I just like sharing the information with you. You know, I think we need to have another conversation on this transferring thing, and I think we need to sit down and seriously dialogue on, you know, where are our states going with this? Because once it happens in one state, it normally trickles around and starts happening in other states. And we have to be consistent with it across the board. Because at the end of the day, no matter what one state is doing or the other, remember, our child can end up going to school anywhere. And we want to help them get the best out of that situation. So if one school has no problem with the transfer rule, and their kids are coming in, their kids are getting the exposure, or having more opportunities to get the exposure, schools are saying,
or the state that you're currently living in, your school is saying that your child will be sitting for 365 days, and that's their last year, then we have a problem, parents, that needs to be addressed. So you can sit there and you can be mute, have nothing to say on the conversation, but I'm telling you, at some point in time, it's going to come back, it's going to catch your attention, and time to go to work, put some action onto it. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. You know, that's what I always say. And on that note, I'm going to say, hey, Keith, where you at? Take us out this evening. I want to hear it one more time. Are we going to make smart cool or what? Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.